Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, hello there, folks. Welcome to your Royal Rumble reaction special edition here of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. I am your host, Andy Wales, and I am joined tonight, as ever, by my audio tag team partner, the one and only Mo Chatra. And Mo, I'm looking forward to discussing the Royal Rumble with you.
Likewise, Andy. It's a pretty hectic weekend of wrestling. Lots happened, plenty of talking points as usual coming out of the Rumble and the takeover event that was took place the night before. So, yeah, plenty to talk about.
Absolutely, yes. There is lots to talk about, like you said, and you mentioned the NXT takeover. Great place to start. I mean, that kicked off the whole weekend. Just briefly, we'll run through it. What are your overall thoughts of the show? Because I know going into it, we weren't quite as excited at the prospect of this one as some of the previous takeover shows. Two title changes. How did you find the show?
Overall, I thought it was a pretty good show. As I noted on the pod last week, I didn't really have high expectations, and that's because takeover events are usually so good that the bar has been set really high for these shows. So when you see a lineup that doesn't quite measure up on paper to the shows that we've been treated to in the last year, 18 months, 2 years, you know, you're disappointed before the event even takes place. But that said, the show itself, I thought overall was a very good one. You know, we had a couple of really good matches. I thought none of the matches were bad. And we had one or two surprises as well. Mostly for me, it was the fact that Bobby Roode became the new NXT champion. I didn't expect that. I thought that Nakamura would retain and at least hold it until around WrestleMania time. But that wasn't the case. Bobby Roode won the title in what was a pretty good match. Some, you know, thought it was a very good match, a great match even. But that was certainly a surprise for me. And I predicted a tag title change, and so it proved. But what I didn't expect again was that the match would be as good as it was. I thought it was the match of the night. And it just showed how good DIY are as a tag team, that they can carry a green pairing in the Authors of Pain to what was, in my view, almost a very good match. So overall, very pleased.
Yeah, I will agree. Certainly on the tag match, it was a good match. And like you say, it just shows how good they are, the way that they led that match and really helped the Authors of Pain through. And I think evident as well of how they've improved. I must admit, I found the women's match to be a bit scruffy. A little bit disappointing, but I suppose it was kind of difficult. But I am looking forward to seeing Asuka and Nikki Cross go one-on-one. And on the main event, I have to say, you know, like yourself, didn't really expect Nakamura to lose the title. Thought perhaps they'd end it in a way that would keep the feud going, though. And as in the way that they did it, yes, that the title changed hands. And I think the way it was done, though, was very smart. It was good booking. Great selling by Nakamura, and also that Roode came out of it looking like a proper heel despite the crowd cheering for him. So I think in all the ways that was done really well. Got to say, little side note, Bobby Roode's entrance, not quite glorious compared to the other ones, I have to say that. But one final note on there, Morn, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. It was almost an emotional thing as well. Corey Graves announcing that this was the end of his NXT tenure, that he'd be moving on full time. You know, we'd just be seeing him over on Raw and on 205 Live. Nigel McGuinness taking his place. Your thoughts on that one, please?
Yeah, I think that Corey's been a revelation as a commentator, and obviously he got his start on NXT and he's done a fantastic job there. It's a shame to see him move on, but obviously the WWE have recruited Nigel McGuinness, who has in his own right established himself as a very, very good commentator for Ring of Honor in the last several years. A retired wrestler, one of Daniel Bryan's most favourite opinions of the last 10, 15 years. And he obviously debuted on the WWE UK Championship Tournament. I thought he did really well with Michael Cole. And he will be the weekly commentator alongside the usual crew on NXT. So I think he'll do really well. So he's a more than adequate replacement as far as I'm concerned. And it's just a shame that, you know, we are stuck with the third leg there, who really adds nothing whatsoever to that commentary table. Other than that, a very fine addition nonetheless in Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And yes, it is. Percy Watts, I'm afraid, doesn't bring anything to the table there. I wish stick with the two-man booth. Stick with the two-man booth. Never mind. Anyway, let's move on. On to Sunday night, Royal Rumble event. We were excited going into it. I know I was really looking forward to it. You know, this was the 30th Royal Rumble event, not the 30th anniversary. We shouldn't confuse the two. It was a stacked card. No two ways about it. Before we get to the Rumble itself, the four championship matches on the main show, not the pre-show, on the main show, the women's championship match, I like the way they kicked the show off. I've got to say, it was kind of how we expected with Bayley. And I've got to say, having a hardcore crowd there, you know, for one of the big events, I thought that made a real difference to the atmosphere when you've got Bayley and Charlotte coming out there. I quite enjoyed this match. I think there's more to come from them, though, Mo.
I think there is, yes. No, this is not a one-and-done kind of deal by any means. You know, we speculated last week about what might happen in this match. And, you know, I think both of us expected Charlotte to retain the title. And, you know, so it proved. I thought it was a pretty good match. I don't think it was outstanding. These two are very clearly capable of a lot better than this. I think that the road for these two leads to WrestleMania, whether it's as a straight up singles match between the two, or perhaps with somebody there as part of a three-way match, possibly Nia Jax, who beat Sasha Banks on the undercard on the pre-show. I thought this was a very good match. You know, Charlotte looked in fine form, and you know, she got busted open. She cut her mouth during the contest, but didn't phase her one bit. And you know, the finish was a bit out of the blue in a way. I didn't quite expect it to be the finish, but even up until that point, I thought it was building into a pretty nice little match. But certainly for an opening contest, it certainly served its purpose. So thumbs up for that one.
Yeah, just a quick one more thing on this. I mean, I do feel that, you know, they spent so much time really, really hyping up the Charlotte pay-per-view record, you know, and I think the combination of that and Bayley chasing for the title. So Bayley winning the title and Charlotte losing her pay-per-view record, that has to be a WrestleMania moment, doesn't it?
Oh, I think it does, yes. It'd almost be a shame, given that this storyline has been going since pretty much Bayley turned up on Raw, that they wouldn't lead to some kind of WrestleMania moment. That would just be the perfect way to end that storyline and then move it into a different direction between these two, and then even involving others like Nia Jax. I mean, Nia Jax and Bayley on NXT had some, you know, really good matches. And I think that, you know, if they decide to ease Charlotte away from the title picture for a short while, then, you know, that would certainly be a direction I'd be quite keen on, is Bayley and Nia Jax. I think Nia Jax, I didn't think much of a match against Sasha Banks, but as this kind of monster heel, I think she really can play a good role, and Bayley is the perfect kind of plucky underdog to face off against Nia. So, you know, if that's the direction they go into post-WrestleMania, then I'll be all up for that.
Yeah. Just sticking with the Raw brand then, Universal Championship match, Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns with, of course, Chris Jericho hoisted above the ring in the shark cage. I like the way that they, you know, that they played this out to start with, you know, kept it going and really kicked the match off in proper heel way, as they should do. Not the finish that we expected, though, Mo, and certainly not the finish I expected watching it. I've got to say, I genuinely was surprised how this match ended.
Absolutely, I was as well. I didn't expect there to be that type of outside interference. I really firmly believe that Roman Reigns would win the title and then defend it against whomever was to win the Royal Rumble at WrestleMania. Obviously, that didn't prove to be the case, just as it looked like he would be winning the title. So turned up Braun Strowman and interfered in the contest. And being a no DQ bout, he was able to get away with that. And shortly thereafter, much weakened Roman Reigns succumbed to Kevin Owens, and Owens retained the title. I thought it was a fantastic match, though. It really, really was. I mean, it was all action all the way through. I mean, Kevin Owens is one of these guys that, ever since he turned up on the main roster, has been putting out these types of matches, which, you know, if you watch them, you almost get tired watching them. You know, they're for such an intensity and the pace, and it's really fantastic to watch. I mean, there are those that perhaps would like that kind of match to be a bit more slower paced and add a bit more story to it in the way that a classic Bret Hart or a Shawn Michaels match might deliver. But, you know, this is quite impressive athleticism for a guy that doesn't look very athletic. And for him to maintain that pace over 20 plus minutes is really impressive. And now Roman Reigns in the last 15, 18 months, has come on in leaps and bounds as a singles wrestler. And I fully thought that this would be a great match. And it was probably even better than I expected it to be. And I thought it was going to be excellent. And it was good to see. I mean, I'm fine with Roman Reigns not winning the title. I mean, Kevin Owens is a great champion, albeit I've not been fully overawed by his title reign. But as we talked about last week, that's not necessarily down to Owens. But yeah, that's something I'm completely cool with. And, you know, it means that it's very likely now that he will head into WrestleMania, defending the Universal Championship. Who it's against, well, there's plenty of weeks to determine the opponent for Owens. But, yeah, great match and, good outcome for Owens, and, you know, he keeps the title.
Yeah, I've got to say, there was a spot in there with the chairs where they stacked them up about 3-4 high. That was quite the spectacular spot. And I tell you what, no matter what they do, that's got to hurt. That's got to hurt.
Well, yeah, I mean, with something like that, you really are taking a genuine risk there, because if you land the wrong way on one of those chairs, you know, you could get seriously hurt. You know, back your neck, back your head. It's not a really comfy landing, hitting, you know, coming down on those seven chairs. But there was clearly a spot that they built up to right from the early moments when Kevin Owens put those chairs up in that kind of pyramid. But yeah, that was pretty nasty. And now there are plenty of other nasty spots in that contest as well. I mean, they didn't hold anything back. I'm sure both were feeling very sore, you know, this morning when they woke up. But
pretty nasty reaction for Roman Reigns when he came out. Kind of telltale what we might get further into the night, which I'm sure we'll get to later on. But the crowd, they're just not having it. And I wonder if WWE are ever going to just kind of acknowledge this and move on with him.
Well, that's right. I mean, he was by far the most disliked on the whole show. And you've got to think that they've got to turn him heel, because, you know, he gets an even worse reaction than John Cena did when he used to get the really bad reaction. I mean, he still gets booed, but a lot of that's just a kind of, that's what you do. It's part of the show kind of deal. Whereas with Roman Reigns, I think it's more than that. And yeah, that they just can't try and persist with this babyface thing because the fans just won't accept it. So it'll be interesting to see how things pan out for him in the lead up to and at and after the WrestleMania, because I've got a feeling that they're going to go heel with him. I just think they've got no option there.
Yeah, let's hope so. I think for him as well, I think he really needs that. Freshen him up and let him really let loose. And that could make help freshen things up after Mania, make things a bit more exciting. Just talking of freshening up, I mean, the Cruiserweight's got another freshening up. Title change, pretty much as we expected, though. You know, the King of the Cruiserweights got crowned.
Indeed he did, yeah. I mean, Neville won yet again. I think he's undefeated since he debuted in the 205 Cruiserweight division. And it was a pretty good match. I thought that both guys worked hard. Neville particularly. It was a shame that they followed what was a really amazing match between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. And obviously the crowd spent a lot of energy on that one. So I had to come down in this contest, and were relatively subdued. But it wasn't because the action was poor or lacking. You know, there was a lot of action. It was very good. And, it's part of this whole kind of process that they have to go through with the Cruiserweight division, that they've made a pretty inauspicious start with it. You know, they've chosen the wrong guys to, feature at the top of the card with TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick. You know, these were not the people to base this division around at all. And so they've got to try and undo that kind of negative first impression that a lot of fans, casual fans especially, have got of the Cruiserweights. But I think in time, if they stick to trying to make the high flyers a bit more prominent and make that the unique selling point of the Cruiserweight division, then in due course, I'm sure that they'll catch on. So I don't think the WWE should punish the Cruiserweights. Anyway, they just need to stick with it, similar to how they've done with the women's division since the Divas Revolution launched about 18 months ago, and that's starting to pay dividends now, and I'm sure the Cruiserweight division will start to catch on eventually as well. But no, it was good to see Neville win the title, and I'd like to see them bring in a couple of opponents that can certainly go toe to toe when it comes to the Aerial Antics.
Yeah, I think it's a good move, and I do think having the heel champion in the type of heel character that he is will really help it as well, because it just helps build some of them baby faces, because that's what the baby faces need, is they need building on that show. So to have a heel champion for them to chase, I think will really help it, and ultimately it's got to be Jack Gallagher, and that will be something as a real spectacle, I suppose. I'm looking for more words here. I think that's what it'll be. It'll be a spectacle. It'll be really something great to watch, real entertainment. So, yeah, plenty more to come from the Cruiserweights. That's certain. Now, last match of the night, last singles match of the night, John Cena tying Ric Flair's 16-time world championship record, beating AJ Styles for the WWE Championship, and Mo, I've got to say, this match, it was incredible. Definitely the best match they've had so far. It actually beat their SummerSlam match from last year, and that is saying something. It really was incredible.
Oh, totally. It's the WWE match of 2017, albeit we're only about a month into the year, but it's really going to take something to top this one. It wasn't just an incredible match. It was one of the all-time great WWE matches. That's how good it was. I mean, I'm really struggling to think of a match that WWE has staged which was quite as amazing as that. I mean, we've had matches in the past that, in terms of storyline or emotion, have been better. But in terms of athleticism and transitions going back and forth, it was just on a level that I've never seen from the WWE. And a lot of the credit belongs to AJ Styles. I mean, he was a guy who just went out there and he was determined to have the best match he could possibly get out of John Cena. And that's not to disparage John Cena. John Cena is these days a fantastic worker in his own right. But AJ Styles is clearly a level above, and he is one of the top workers in the whole business. You know, if it wasn't for Kenny Omega versus who was it at the New Japan Dome show? It was Kenny Omega against Kazuchika Okada. Then I'd say that that would be the match of the year in the whole wrestling business. But Okada versus Omega was, and still is, the best match I've seen in 2017. But you know, this match between Cena and Styles was just off the page, just back and forth, back and forth. Yeah, it was quite a historic moment, I guess. You know, with John Cena becoming a 16-time champion. Albeit, I mean, it's funny that Ric Flair's kayfabe title wins is 16, but the real number is anywhere between 18 and 22. There were title changes that he had in his NWA days that were never recognised, but there were definitely title changes against the likes of Carlos Colon, for example. But, you know, 16 is a number that everyone's familiar with. And, you know, it was a historic moment. And, you know, the referee was Charles Robinson, who grew up being a massive Ric Flair mark. And, you know, he had a few words to say to Cena. And it looked like you know, Cena really appreciated what Charles Robinson had to say. And they embraced, which you never really see a wrestler do with a referee. And after that, Charles Robinson, you know, looked like he was struggling to hold back the tears. I mean, Charles Robinson was the referee in Ric Flair's title match when he won his publicly acknowledged 16th world title. So, you know, he was there for both of those moments. And, you know, he got emotional because of that. And, you know, it was just a great occasion. So, yeah, all things considered, you know, great match, great moment. Memorable moment. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, I will say this. I was a little surprised because, I mean, we both said on the preview that we felt that, you know, Cena equaling this you know, much publicized record was a WrestleMania moment. So it could this be, as you alluded to, actually, that Cena wins it only to lose it, to win it again and actually break the record at WrestleMania? Could this be the way they're going? Because what I did notice is they didn't make quite as much of him equaling the record as I thought they might have done.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it was a bit strange that they really didn't emphasize the significance of it. So that was a bit surprising. I mean, it's something obviously we'll come on to when we talk about the Rumble, but you know, it'd be difficult to see him now challenge for the title at WrestleMania, but you know, there's plenty that can happen. I mean, we've got the Elimination Chamber coming up in less than 2 weeks, and I'm sure that he'll defend his title in that match. And you know, it's likely that he might just drop that title, and the winner of the Rumble might go on to face the winner of whoever wins that contest, because otherwise we might see a very familiar match at WrestleMania, a match that we've seen on numerous occasions and one that, to be honest, not many people are excited about. But you know, that's why I think that, you know, John Cena's 16 title reign might not last all that long. But we'll give a bit more context to that when we come on to the main event.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's move on to it. No time like the present, because, I mean, you mentioned their title changes. I think we could see a couple of title changes between now and Mania for both, you know, the main titles on both brands. I've got to say, I kind of expect Goldberg to beat Kevin Owens at the next pay per view. I can't remember what they're calling it, but it's been mentioned that Goldberg is going to be wrestling at that next pay-per-view before Mania. So I'm almost expecting that title to change hands there.
That'll be at Fastlane. Yes, that's right. Fastlane in early March. Yeah.
So that and the Elimination Chamber, I can see that happening. I can see title changes for both being flipped back and forth and then the crowning moment at Mania. So it could be quite a fast-paced, you know, couple of months between now and WrestleMania. You know, we think that that Royal Rumble's kind of sets the scene for Mania, but it's I think, you know, the scene could change quite a lot over the next sort of 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, it totally can. Yeah, absolutely. And in a way, I kind of hope it does, because, you know, there are certain angles or storyline scenarios coming out of that Rumble match, which didn't fill me with huge amount of excitement for WrestleMania. So that's what I'm hoping, that there are twists and turns along the way to lead into more intriguing matches than the ones that we're expecting at this moment in time. I mean, as we recall this, we haven't seen Raw, we haven't seen SmackDown. These shows haven't taken place as yet. So we're coming fresh off the Rumble. You know, anything can happen, you know, on both of this week's two live shows, which once again can change the direction leading into WrestleMania. So you're quite right. You know, lots can happen.
Yeah. I mean, let's move on to the Rumble. You know, some of our predictions, can I just say, I kind of predicted somebody to come in at number 10. Did I not?
You might have done.
I got the perfect 10 on that one.
You did, yeah. 10 out of 10 for that. Well done.
As for the rest of the predictions, well, we just won't talk about them. I've got to say, Mo, I think underwhelmed is probably the best way of putting it. Perhaps because I built my expectations up quite a lot for this Rumble. I was excited. I was really looking forward to it. Probably the most anticipation I've had for a Royal Rumble for quite some years. And I came out of it thinking, nah. It just felt underwhelmed. There was no nostalgia in there, unless you count Goldberg and Undertaker as nostalgia. We had no big surprises, really. No Kurt Angle, which perhaps... you know, there was clues in there over the weekend. It was publicized that he's got a match coming up in early February with a minor promotion. But no Joe, no Samoa Joe. And this is not just, you know, oh, internet fans, you know, whining and crying and all the rest of it. For me, it was the perfect time to introduce Samoa Joe. You know, he could have come in and this really made a, you know, they could have made a star ready for this campaign towards WrestleMania, and nothing, no Samoa Joe. I mean, what were your overall thoughts on the Rumble then?
Well, I'm probably in the minority on this one. I thought the match itself was really, really good. Now, obviously, there's a great amount of disappointment not to have those surprises, not to have those nostalgia moments. You know, we expected Samoa Joe. We hoped for a Kurt Angle. We thought there might be one or two, you know, blasts from the past. You know, there were 8 spots on, you know, available the day of the Rumble. Only 22 slots had been confirmed. 8 were up for grabs. And, you know, fans, you know, on social media, in their WhatsApp groups, all over the place were speculating amongst themselves about who those 8 spots could go to. And most of those spots didn't materialize how we expected. I mean, we didn't really hope for or expect or anticipate, you know, Cesaro or Sheamus, James Ellsworth, likes of them, to take these spots. So that was disappointing, clearly. But if you put that aside, I thought that the match itself was really well laid out. It was very cleverly booked. There were very few moments in the match which were dull, where nothing really was happening. Most of the acts that were coming into the match itself were pretty over. There were not many that were getting, you know, zero or negligible reaction. You know, they saved the bigger names towards the end. You know, there were some good spots throughout the contest as well. You know, there was that surprise, you know, with Randy Orton winning it. I mean, obviously, for those who are paying attention to the betting odds, he was, you know, a big odds-on favourite to win it, because I think word had gotten out that, you know, WWE was planning on putting Randy Orton over in the contest, and so it proved. But even still, to see it happen was a surprise, because, you know, leading into the match, nobody really expected Randy Orton to win it. People were thinking it might be Goldberg, or Braun Strowman, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar perhaps, certainly not Randy Orton, who's been sort of stuck in mid-card obscurity to an extent in this angle with the Wyatt family. But, you know, that was what they decided to do. And I thought it actually worked quite well and it got a good reaction, which, you know, the same can't be said for the last two or three Royal Rumbles when the fans shitted all over the finishes when they didn't get Daniel Bryan winning those Rumbles. This year, obviously, that but wasn't Mo, ever going to happen.
No, Mo?
Yes.
I mean, what the reaction, he did get a good reaction at the end, but was that a reaction because Randy Orton won, or was that a reaction simply because the last two guys in the ring were Randy Orton and Roman Reigns, and I think 99.9% of the world thought, oh my God, they really are going to do this. You know, we saw him come out with number 30. That was a surprise. You heard the crowd reaction to that one. You've seen the last two people, and you could see people groaning, thumbs were down. People, there was even people starting to leave. They just, that was it. They expected, this is it. We're getting this again. Maybe was it just that the reaction was because it wasn't Roman Reigns rather than it was Randy Orton?
No, you make a great point. I think the fact that it was not Roman Reigns is partly a large part of the reason why Randy Orton got that reaction. I mean, the reason that Roman Reigns came out as number 30, despite already having fought earlier on the show, is purely a troll job by the WWE. It's a big sticking the middle finger up at the WWE universe by Vince McMahon, you know, because, you know, he, perhaps of everyone in the WWE, is the one that, you know, is most angry and agitated by this continued animosity towards his project, his man. You know, it's he that wants Roman Reigns. I think at this stage, he doesn't really care, because he knows that, you know, he's been doing it for years, not giving the fans what they want, and yet they'll still keep on buying the tickets, subscribing to the network, and the WWE's revenues are higher than they've ever been in the company's history. So he knows he can get away with it, because despite, you know, not giving the fans what they want, despite pushing the likes of Cena, you know, a few years ago, and more recently Roman Reigns' faces when the fans didn't want to accept him in those roles, you know, the company still makes money hand over fist. So they can get away with it, and they know that they can get away with it. And I think that's part of the reason why they thought, okay, right, we'll show these fans, we'll show the universe, and we'll do this. And, you know, it was a great troll job. Is it smart business to do that kind of thing, though? Well, I don't think so. I think as much money as they're making, I think they can make even more money by giving the fans what they really do want. And, you know, a lot of fans there were hoping for a Samoa Joe or even a Kurt Angle. You know, if Samoa Joe had won the Royal Rumble, what a moment that would have been. Great way to finally put over a new, fresh face and get that talent over first night in the company on the main roster. But they decided not to do that and give a tried and tested almost old stager now, albeit an old stager that's younger than Samoa Joe, that rub of winning the Rumble yet again.
Can you imagine, no more? Could you imagine the reaction if Samoa Joe had been out there and the last three people in that Rumble then were Samoa Joe, were Roman Reigns and Randy Orton, and then Roman Reigns puts Samoa Joe out and then gets eliminated by Randy Orton, so that Randy Orton doesn't get the heat for putting Samoa Joe out, but Samoa Joe is seen there right at the end. You know what I mean? Like you talked about there. That's him. That's him, a star. You know, the crowd are already behind him already. They want to see him. It's just like AJ Styles last year. It just kind of solidifies that they belong. They are a star. They're an attraction. And immediately, you know, that's a great introduction to the TV audience. And immediately, when you go on to Raw or SmackDown, wherever they're going to be, there's your program. There's another star. And it's just bringing the audience in. It's just something to add to the show, surely.
Oh, yeah, totally agree. You know, there was no reason, no good reason why Samoa Joe didn't debut. He really should have. It's possible that they might decide to debut him on Raw or SmackDown this week. And the only explanation for that might be that Raw and SmackDown will be viewed by more people than the Royal Rumble. And so that would be the justification that they wanted more eyeballs for his debut. But, you know, it, and part of it might be that you know, they felt that AJ Styles, who made his debut at the Rumble last year, it wasn't the most successful of debuts. I mean, he got a great reaction that night, but after that, it took him 2 or 3 months before he really found his stride. And you know, he was stuck in a pretty uninspiring kind of program with The Miz and Chris Jericho. And it was only after WrestleMania that he really started to find his feet and get into gear. And maybe they want to avoid that with Samoa Joe. But I thought that at the very least Samoa Joe should have debuted. You know, it was the perfect stage for him to debut. I think he would have got a great reaction from that crowd. And as you say, even if he didn't win, the fact that he would have been in the final three or four itself would have conveyed to the audience that this is somebody to take seriously. He's one of our new top guys. And you know, that would have been mission accomplished just in that alone. But they decided not to do that. I thought it was a very good match in spite of that. I thought had they, instead of bringing Cesaro and Sheamus out, supplemented those with Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, and perhaps had a slightly different finish and not had Randy Orton go over, it could very, very well have ended up being the best Rumble ever. That's how good I thought it was. As I say, you know, looking at the whole match over the 1 hour, you know, there were good moments, good spots, good interactions all the way through, good storytelling, good scenarios laid out coming in and out of the match. So, you know, for that reason, I thought it was really good, but I thought it could have been better. And the reason I think it could have been better is for the reasons that you've outlined, that, you know, they missed an opportunity to give us a bit of nostalgia, to put over one or two new faces. They chose for whatever reason not to do that. But in spite of that, I still thought it was really good.
Yeah, I do think there were some good moments in there. I mean, we're talking their big hitters. You know, a lot of the talk beforehand, it was going to be Goldberg or it was going to be Brock Lesnar winning. As it turned out, I mean, we both felt that neither would probably win and that they'd find a way of keeping that one going. Kind of interesting. I like the way that they brought Lesnar in and they made that immediate impact that Lesnar does and didn't have him out there for too long, you know, where he starts to stand still and he's trundling around and just becomes another guy. He came in, he made a lot of impact, and then Goldberg came in and eliminated him. I thought that was smart in that because Goldberg then got eliminated later, they still have something to fight about. Lesnar's still got his beef with Goldberg, and I'm sure that will bring them back together at Mania.
Well, that's right, yes. You know, once again, Goldberg dominated Lesnar, which, again, many fans, myself included, would have found surprising. So it was a good way of keeping that whole angle fresh. There's clearly more mileage in it, and I think Lesnar has to eventually get his win. And, you know, WrestleMania might be that moment. And, you know, as we talked about earlier, whether that does or doesn't involve the title, we've yet to see. We'll find out a bit more in the coming weeks. But, you know, it's certainly the direction that I think everything's heading towards in terms of these two. You know, the book hasn't been closed on these two. There's more to go with this. But, you know, and that kind of leads me to a wider point that, you know, some of the biggest reactions in the match were save for when, you know, the really big guys squared up against each other. I mean, if you think back to Strowman and Mark Henry, Strowman and Big Show, before they'd even laid a finger on each other, the crowd were going crazy. And what that kind of demonstrates is one of the points that I've made on the pod in the past, in that, you know, the smart fans love, you know, talented workers who can have great matches. You know, you've got that larger, bigger casual audience that is more into personalities and larger than life characters. And it's when those larger than life characters in this Rumble match squared off that you were getting the biggest reactions of the night. And, you know, this was a crowd that wasn't your typical Rumble crowd, because typically the Rumbles are held in smaller arenas where the vast majority of the crowd are those kind of, you know, smart mark, hardcore WWE fans who are also quite into NXT and some of the indie promotions. Whereas there was a lot more casual fans who only perhaps watch Raw and or SmackDown, and who pay less attention to NXT and certainly don't really follow the indies. And that's why, you know, that type of crowd is a bit more into, you know, these bigger characters rather than guys who are necessarily great workers. And, you know, some of the live reports that I read as well certainly suggested that in various sections of, you know, the Alamo Dome, you know, the likes of, you know, Mark Henry and Strowman were getting much bigger reactions than, you know, some of the guys that we consider to be better, because, you know, likes of Sami Zayn, for example, because, you know, we class them as much better workers, but as characters, perhaps not quite, they don't quite resonate with the casual audiences, you know, these big guys do. And again, that's part of the whole kind of conditioning of the WWE audience over decades, that, you know, it's these big guys, larger than life, you know, these are the people that you should emotionally invest in, rather than your smaller guys who might have great matches, but, you know, they're not quite at the level of, you know, the big monsters. You know, that people grew up on the Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, and in later years, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, these were still big guys. I mean, Austin was, you know, 6'2", 250, 260. And now, you know, we've got a lot of guys who are there floating around the 200-pound mark, maybe 5'10", 5'11". And, you know, there's a lot of fans still of that old kind of mindset.
Yeah,
and that will, again, take time.
Yeah, Undertaker and Goldberg, I mean, that got quite a reaction when they faced off, although it should be said the Undertaker should never be allowed to drop his straps again. That was not a good sight.
No, he was flashing the moves, wasn't he? And, you know, he's perhaps not in the shape he used to be.
Well, he's about 50 years old.
Yeah, that's as good an excuse as any. But yeah, he's rocking the Darby Kelly now as well. And yeah, not quite the lean, mean fighting machine that he was perhaps 15 years ago. But and on top of that, that forehead gets bigger, or the hairline's receding, one of the two. But yeah, I mean,
I know all about that one.
He looked okay. I mean, he clearly is, you know, dyed his hair and you know, the goatee in readiness for WrestleMania. And then, as we normally see, 6 months after the event, we normally see him on crutches and with grey hair and looking about 20 years older. But yeah, when it comes to this time of the year, that's the time he makes his money, and then you know, he'll disappear. And as a side note, I noticed his good wife, Michelle McCool, was at ringside for much of the show, enjoying it with a daughter or niece. So that was good to see. She was looking well. But yeah, it was overall, in my view, a good, you know, very good Rumble match. And just disappointing that we didn't get those nostalgia moments, and we didn't get to see those two or three individuals that, you know, we really expected and hoped to see. But overall, as a show itself, I just thought it was, all things considered, the best Royal Rumble show in history. I thought it was the best one. They were two classic matches. The Rumble match itself was top five or top six of all the Rumble matches. And, you know, some of the other matches were pretty decent too. So all things considered, I just really struggled to think of a Royal Rumble show that could top this one.
I've got to say, overall, it was a good show. Certainly the, I say, undercard, you know, four title matches, they're all very good. You know, I think it was probably the anticipation and what we're looking forward to then, what we got at the end, probably left me feeling underwhelmed. But overall, yeah, good show. And before we go, a word for Jack Gallagher, because I loved his spot in the Rumble. He's used to the umbrella. Was it William III? Absolutely fantastic. Right. And that there is a star. And like we alluded to earlier, you know, Jack Gallagher in the future with the King of the Cruiserweights, that's going to be something special, because I do feel he was one of the stars that came out of this Rumble, Jack Gallagher.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, what's great about him is that, you know, he tries to differentiate himself from everyone else. And what's also pleasing is the WWE allows him to differentiate himself. You know, too often in the past, they've almost insisted that everyone is a, you know, carbon copy of the next person, that they've all got to work a certain way, look a certain way, and cut promos in a certain way. And with Jack Gallagher, he's allowed to be different. And that's what makes him stick out. And, you know, even in his time in the Rumble match, you know, he showed those things that make him different. And, you know, he got him over. And, you know, with the umbrella, with William III, I think there's all sorts of things he can do with it in the context of a family-friendly wrestling show, obviously. But, he's got a lot of potential in terms of where his character can go. And, you know, that's another WrestleMania moment waiting to happen, isn't it? You know, him against Neville and an all-Brit affair with Gallagher going over for the title. So, that's certainly something to look forward to.
Yeah, it certainly will be something I'll look forward to. More before we go, then, I've got to say my overall feeling is, though, I think Raw really, really has to deliver tonight. I think there's a lot on Raw tonight as we record this on the Monday to really kick things off, to get that mood up, lifted and ready and motoring towards Mania. I think that the next week, 2 weeks of TV have got to be big for WWE. They've really got to set the scene now. I think they've got to set this off at a good pace.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Now, as we said, some of the matches that were potentially coming out of that Rumble match weren't filling everyone with excitement. I mean, outwardly, it looks like, unless things change, it's John Cena against Randy Orton for the WWE World Championship, and potentially The Undertaker and Roman Reigns. It was Reigns that eliminated the Taker, wasn't it?
In all honesty, I forget. But I think Reigns and Strowman looks like a program that we're going to see. You could have Taker with Goldberg and Lesnar. There's a few different possibilities. I think that's why this next week or two of television is a really, really vital one for WWE.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the other things that we didn't touch upon is that over the course of the weekend, I thought they did a poor job with the whole Triple H and Seth Rollins storyline. I thought the angle on the takeover show wasn't really all that great. And I thought, and many thought, that they'd follow it up at the Rumble with a bigger angle, a bigger follow-up. Nothing happened whatsoever. That disappointed many. So they've really got to do something to heat it up on Raw. You know, that's something that they really need to do. And, you know, it's the kind of match which at WrestleMania could be fantastic. But the booking of Seth Rollins has just been so poor. But, you know, they've got this big angle lined up with Rollins and Stephanie for Raw. And, you know, if that works out to be a great one, it can be just a spark that this feud needs. But, I mean, you know, all the key matches really need to get big angles, you know, done and dusted over the next couple of nights on TV. And if they do that, then the next few weeks leading up to WrestleMania could be some of the best WWE television we've seen in a while. So that's what I'm really hoping to kickstart, you know, in the next 48 hours. And if they do that, that'll be fantastic. Because last year's WrestleMania, the build-up and the show itself, in terms of lineup and delivery, in my view, disappointed. And I think they've got to make up for it this year.
Yeah, well, let's certainly hope that this week and next week's television are everything that we hope them to be. Because when we come back by that time, we'll certainly have a lot more to talk about. But until we get to that point, Moe, anything you'd like to plug before we disappear off over the sunset?
Just a plug for a British wrestling promotion. It's a promotion called Progress Wrestling. For those eagle-eyed viewers who are watching TakeOver, you might have seen fans in the audience wearing Progress Wrestling shirts. Progress Wrestling is, in some ways, possibly the coolest wrestling promotion out there. It's got real cult following. It's based out of London, but they run shows around the UK, and they've got an on-demand service, and it's got a very different vibe to what you see from the WWE. Certainly more adult orientated, but not in a kind of Attitude Era sleazy, misogynistic kind of way or hardcore violence type of way. It's just you know, grown-up wrestling for adults. You know, lots of sweariness, so Nina Kausa would love it. And it's just really good. And you know, if you can check it out, their on-demand service is only about a fiver a month, but they consistently put on good shows. And this is one of the promotions that the WWE has partnered with as part of its WWE UK expansion plans. So, you know, it gets the WWE seal of approval, and, you know, the likes of Jack Gallagher and Neville have fought in the promotion. So, you know, I don't think Neville has, sorry, but, you know, there's been the likes of Zack Sabre Jr. that were part of the Cruiserweight Classic. Also, it's been a regular part of Progress Wrestling. Progress Wrestling is a great wrestling promotion. So if you get the chance, if you fancy checking out an alternative to WWE, then I certainly urge you to do so.
I promise I will be back writing very, very soon. There will be some more stuff up on the website under the sports section, and there will be a Red review out this week, but it's not going to be a pleasant one to do unless by some miraculous way Liverpool turn the confidence around and actually beat Chelsea. But never mind. So, Progress Wrestling, there you go, folks. A chance to potentially see some British stars of WWE future. Like we've said here, you know, myself and Mo, we will be back probably back end of next week after a couple of weeks of WWE television that will perhaps give us a much better idea of just where we are on the road to WrestleMania. But for now, it's time for us to go over that top rope and both feet to touch the floor, because that's it. This is your Royal Rumble reaction edition of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. Don't forget, you can keep in touch with us here on the Twitter at PW_Index. Please do watch out for anything that comes up on that, and don't be afraid to get in contact with us. So as always, I want to thank Mo for joining me here tonight, breaking down everything of the Royal Rumble. And we both want to thank all of you, the listeners, for tuning in and, of course, hitting that download button. But until next week, from me, Andy Wales, it's bye-bye now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.